All right, let's pray. You can join me, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We try to take, the first 5, 6, maybe 7 calls, and I'm delighted to be able to pray for you and with you. Maggie joins me this afternoon. Maggie, you're praying with me, right?
Yes, sir.
You're on board. Good to have you with me. Anything you would like to offer up or pray for today?
You know what? I want to lift up a special intention that Mike Kendall sent us earlier today. A good friend of his since childhood, his name was Steve Rogers, passed away suddenly yesterday. He wanted to lift up his family, especially his kids, Sean, Alex, and Kelly.
Oh, gosh darn. Yeah. I mean, you don't know the day or the hour, do you?
No.
It's horrible. We reported on the Indiana congresswoman who died in a car accident. In the car with her, I saw later that night how young the communication director was. And young guy, young girl, they were in their 20s. I mean, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. God's going to call us home, or how life changes. I was sharing in the very first hour of today's show that I actually, yesterday, did something kind of foolish and fell. I cracked my head, my shoulder, my back on the ground. And you know, you think accidents happen when you least expect them. But, you know, you can end up, you know, with head trauma, a brain bleed. You can end up with all sorts of things. So let's pray for those that are going to be facing trial today, that are in difficult situations. And let's really just ask God for his mercy. I want to pray for my colleague, Mike, especially, and for his friend and his family. One or two quick petitions here. This person wrote to me and they said, I just learned a good friend of mine since childhood passed away as well. Here's another one. Could you please pray for them? Lifelong friend. Another person says, greetings and blessings to you at Relevant Radio. I have an urgent prayer request. My friend Jose was struck down by a vehicle and run over. This happened in Texas. He has severe head trauma, collapsed lungs, a ruptured spleen. He's in the ICU in a coma. He's had 2 surgeries so far, but he's still alive. He's fighting. Would you please, please pray for him and his family, the Salgado family? My prayer is that the Lord will grant him complete recovery and that he awakens from the coma completely healed. Just like Jesus did with Lazarus, I have faith that he too can awaken Jose. I thank you in advance for all who pray with him. Thank you for your ministry. Well, we'll pray for him for sure. Let's just pray. Let's lift these intentions up. What I'll do is I'm going to try to get a few extra prayers on the air today too. So if you're on hold with me today, I'll try to get you on. But let me share one positive email here too, if we can. This person says, Drew, I'm one of the many Divine Mercy intercessors A couple weeks ago, my brother Carlos was taken to the emergency room having issues with a possible blockage, and the doctor started running a set of lab tests. I remember vividly that day you mentioned that heart condition of your sister. That was kind of the theme of the day. I prayed a marathon of chaplets. I just want to let you know that the day after we prayed this, excuse me, shut off my ringer here, he says, an extensive test, the doctors ruled there was nothing wrong. He's been completely discharged. God is a providential and loving father. Another person said, a few days ago, I had asked for prayer for my son who was having serious drug and legal issues. I remember that call. He says, you were kind enough to mention it at the beginning of the chat, but I want to let you know, a couple days later, he asked for help on his own. He's going to rehab, and thanks be to God. I want to thank you, God, and all the Relevant Radio family. Please continue to pray for his recovery and the resolution of his legal issues. True, God is indeed merciful. Amen. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll go to Chandler, Arizona. Today, Lisa's praying with us there. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I'm so glad to reach you. Just like this is my last chance to do prayer attention. 25 years of marriage is under a divorce, and it's financial, but bills are paid for. But my husband, he's living with his parents, and he chooses to watch TV and movies instead of, like, getting help of his addiction. And 28 years together this September, and I said, anything is possible with God. I was like, we can't communicate, so then all I got to do is pray about it and have faith. But I'm checking along with my faith, but God's got to reach out to him or to his heart, because God doesn't want divorce, because no, that's something not right. And so I want to pray, and for us, even if we do the divorce, like maybe some down the road, to reach out to his heart about what is he doing, because love and God is the way for your soul for eternity, so we could be together in eternity. I know in marriage you're separate in heaven, but still I want to see him in heaven with me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Look, Lisa, you know, I just got an email from somebody who I prayed for the other day too, who's going through a really tough relationship with her own husband, and I'd recommended Retrovi. Have you tried this organization yet? Have you and your husband looked into maybe just getting an opportunity to talk and have somebody else maybe offer some guidance? Are you familiar with Retrovi?
No, I'm not.
Maggie, can you find me the email for that? Because I never know it offhand. Retrovi is a French word, but spelling it would be a problem.
Here it goes.
It's called
helpyourmarriage.org.
Helpyourmarriage.org. Jot that and just look at it. Maybe place a phone call. I know several people. In fact, I worked with a person whose husband, and she and her husband went through it, and now they testified to it. I should have them on the air to deal with this. Maybe next week we'll deal with some marriage issues. But here's what we got to do. First thing, Lisa, we're going to pray. All right? I know your heart's open to making this marriage work, and I'm with you, too. I believe that God wants a sacramental marriage to stay intact. I mean, you entered that sacrament, and I know the Lord wants that to succeed. Satan hates marriage, and he hates family, and that's why it's so under attack today. Lord, I pray for the vanquishing of these demonic spirits that want to divide married couples. I want to pray for the wounds that have come as a result of infidelity, abuse, apathy. I want to pray for the children who often are the victims and are injured by the collateral damage of these divorces. And I pray that you protect the institution of marriage. Lord, you help us to get what we did wrong right. Lord, I pray for this country, too, that continues to go down this path and redefine that institution. I just pray for anyone right now suffering these difficulties in relationships, broken relationships amongst spouses, family members, coworkers, and friends. And we just ask for your mercy to enter in there, to restore those bridges and bring healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, hang in there, Lisa. I'll be praying for you, okay? I know a lot of other of our prayer family here who's going through difficult times. Please remember Lisa and everyone who's going through these difficult moments. If you have a good marriage, thank God for it and ask God to make sure it's protected, okay? Let's pray protection over our marriages. Anita in Las Vegas, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I have some non-Catholic friends who are very, very ill. The Lord knows their names, unless you want me to say their names.
No, we don't need to, no.
But they have serious problems. I would like to pray for the repose of the soul of my sister Barbara, for family conversion, and I would really love the Holy Spirit to help guide me as a catechist.
All right.
This year especially.
Well, let's pray for that. We'll pray for your friends. We'll pray for your sister. We'll pray for all those intentions that you just voiced. And Lord, I'm grateful for Anita, the fact that she has gotten through here. And I just ask for your mercy. I do. I ask for your mercy. You said to St. Faustina that we should encourage souls who come in contact to trust in your mercy, and how much you love souls who have confidence in you. So, Lord, you promise you'll do everything for them. I ask for the many miracles so many souls are crying out for now. I give you these intentions that were just voiced. I give you the ones in my own heart. And together I come with all of my brothers and sisters here in faith. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Janice in New Mexico, Maggie, what is coming in today? If you want to get your intention to Maggie, too, if you want to get it into the show and you don't make it on the phone lines, at Drew Mariani Show. Please like us on our social media platforms, Facebook.com and on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show and at Drew Mariani as well. What can we pray for, Meg?
Drew, I was talking to Jim Shaper earlier, and I want to lift up his wife, Erin, just for continued good news in health, and that she might hear some good news regarding some interviews she's been having. I also want to lift up praise and thanksgiving. Just my mom's been having some relief from the pain that she was experiencing. So that's great. I hope that continues. Someone with the handle of California Love wrote to us and said, "Hey, Drew, could you pray for my family's safety and security, please? Truly, our fate is in God's hands, and we are trusting he will bring us back stronger without disclosing the negative details of the situation." So I want to lift up whoever that is in their family. Jet wrote to us and said, "Please pray for the soul of Jason, who is 28, who died last week in California." Mags wrote to us and said, "My sister Pat in Florida will be undergoing a biopsy soon to determine the types of tumors on her brain and spine. If it be God's will and through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, may the tumors be benign and may our fractured family find its way back together." Barbie wrote to us and said, "Please pray for courage and peace for my friends whose son is on life support after a skull fracture." And Ellen wrote to us and said, "Prayer intentions in Thanksgiving. My son found a new job and also would like to lift up that his marriage finds healing."
All right, well, that's, boy, that's some heavy intentions.
I know.
You know, I want to pray in particular for that couple that, for that email that came in where they talked about, you know, needing protection.
The security,
And, you know, I don't know what it could be. It could be, you know, a threat from, you know, gang. It could be anything. I mean, I don't know what's happening. There was a woman whose daughter's going to cartel territory, and she's been praying for protection. And not only is this prayer a very protective prayer, the Lord promised that, but I would suggest that, you know, if you're concerned about safety in your home or at your office, your business, your car, where you're traveling, even on your person, get an image of divine mercy, okay, and keep that on yourself. In my book, I wrote many, many stories of how God, as part of this beautiful Divine Mercy devotion, gave us another treasure, another channel of grace. And that's this image of Divine Mercy and how it saved men from concentration camps, how it protected individuals in cars, how it protected one high-ranking government official from an assassination attempt. Somebody came to this person's home. She knew that the threat was against her. They opened fire, and bullets riddled the entire house. Not one penetrated the windows or the glass. They were laying outside her window, and she had entrusted her home to Divine Mercy and had that image of Divine Mercy. And the Lord promised special protections for those who would venerate it. So I don't know whether it could be anything from mobs to gangs to your neighbor threatening to kill. I don't know what the situation is, but I just, you know, God will protect. Entrust yourself to Him right now, and let's pray for that. I want to pray for all those intentions that Maggie just voiced, and we'll add Janice to the mix. She's listening in New Mexico. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Drew. I want to pray for my friend Terry. She has MS and she lives alone. And I pray for me that I will find a job.
All right. Well, let's do it then. We'll pray for employment for you. And I want to pray for all those who have MS. My brother-in-law, his wife, she actually has MS. And it can be debilitating. So I just want to pray for anyone who's struggling with debilitating ailments and diseases, whether it's MD or MS or diabetes, whatever it might be. Lord, I just ask you to heal the body, especially those that carry this lifelong cross. I just ask for mercy. I bring all these souls to the ocean of your mercy. I immerse them in it. Together we come before you, trusting in that as channels of graces that are now flowing as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Marie, listening in Sacramento, California. Thanks for dialing in. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Drew. A good friend of mine was rushed to the hospital yesterday with blood pressure 200 over 110.
Wow.
And I'd like to ask all of us to pray to Divine Mercy Jesus that he will heal her completely of this blood pressure situation.
Amen. Let's pray for that right now. I think of St. Faustina, the power of her intercession. The beatification was a healing of a woman named Maureen Digan who had lymphedema. And then Ron Pytel was a priest who was healed of a heart condition. And Faustina promised to intercede from the other side. Her mission would only begin, she said. So, Lord, right now, I pray for those with high blood pressure. I know this is common. I'm going to pray for high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Those having coronary issues, Lord, those who are really struggling, you're able to get their blood work, their numbers down into a good arena, a good area. And I give you all of Marie's personal intentions, but I give you the body and all the ailments and aches and pains that come with it. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll try to sneak a few more calls in today on this Friday. Amelia is praying with us in San Jose, California. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Drew. I'm bringing up a big cup. My niece, who's been fighting stage 4 breast cancer since last year, was rushed to emergency last night. So I hear that she's ICU intubated and the swelling of the brain. So, you know, I do pray for a miracle or God's will. And I lost my nephew a few months ago. So, losing all these young people.
I'm so sorry.
Her name is Vita. Her name is Vita, V-I-T-A. Thank you.
Beautiful name. All right, we'll pray for her right now. Amelia, thanks for calling. Lord, I pray for mercy. I pray for Vita now in ICU, stage 4 breast cancer. I want to pray for all those who are in the fight of their life with cancer right now. Lord, cancer is not bigger than you. I say it all the time. You can clearly eradicate the cells and restore health. Take those out of their comas, out of their situations, and restore them to new life. Prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to the heart of God. I say that all of the time. And Lord, I ask for new life for Vita. That's what Vita means. So I just ask for new life for her. Let me get to Alicia, who's listening in Chicago. We'll add her to our final prayer, too. Alicia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I just wanted to pray for my maternity, my longer than normal. In this country, you only get 3 months. And I'm putting in for a medical leave at work, and I am praying that it gets approved for the longer maternity leave that I so desperately need with my two young babies and my third one on the way. Thank you.
No, you got it. We'll pray for that for sure and be great. Lord, you heard her prayer. I just move the heart of the person that makes that decision. Gloria in Los Angeles, California, you're on the air as well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, dude. Thank you for your prayers. My daughter, Ruby, hopefully she has a normal birth for the baby anytime soon. And then my sister, who is waiting for surgery, possible blood clot, and for Thanksgiving, and for my daughter, Deanna, that is waiting for a new job after she's going to be 50. And then my other son, that thank God he found a job, another job. So thank God for everything and for divine intervention and all the chaos.
Amen people, to that.
All the chaos a lot of people are facing.
Amen
thank
to that.
You.
Well, we're going to lift you up, Gloria. I'm glad you got through and want to add to your intention. I mean, a lot of maternity prayers now for Lee, for I want to pray for those with complicated pregnancies. I want to pray for those. There was a mother who wrote to me, and she's got two young children. She wrote to me the other day, and she said that she has unbelievable pain in her feet. And she's just saying, could you ask that God will alleviate this pain so I can take care of my two babies and my two young children? And what a cross for a mother who's got to stay home. Lord, I give you all of Gloria's intentions. We pray for her daughter who's expecting and for those upcoming surgeries that many people have and for all those united with me. Let me sneak another call in, too. Tom is in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Drew. I'd like to pray for my brother-in-law, Kevin, and he's suffering from cancer, and they're giving him not very many options. So he's in MD Anderson in Houston, and they're talking about hospice for him and bringing him back to Austin. So there's a lot of decisions to be made by his wife and him. And we also ask that a priest be found to give him the last rites and anointed if that's God's will. And we're always praying for a miracle as well.
I'm the same way. I love that, Tom. I do. I hold out that big cup. I pray for God's will in all situations. But love that intention, too, for those last rites. And, Lord, I know you heard Tom's intentions. I bring to you those who are dying, who are in the fight for their life, those who are approaching the threshold of eternity, those you'll call home expectedly and unexpectedly, and I pray for the hour of our own death. Lord, I pray for the grace for these souls and for those praying with me that we will be right with you when we draw that final breath, when our heart beats that final time. And we thank you for the eternity, the paradise that awaits us. And I give you every one of Tom's intentions, Lord, and I ask you to shower him in mercy. Let me sneak one more in here, too, before we start the final deck. Christine in Philadelphia, good afternoon.
Drew, God bless you. Thank you for what you do. My brother,
thanks,
Eric, 52 years old, still bedridden. I've been on Twitter asking for our faith family's prayers, but we need a miracle here, Drew, for Eric.
Okay.
And I know we can do this. All things
Amen.
Are possible with God.
I love your attitude, Christine. I'm with you. Let's pray big. Let's believe big, okay? God's mercy is stronger than our misery. You know, all grace flows from mercy. All grace. And God's mercy is stronger than the greatest problem we have. He told St. Faustina, you know, all that's necessary is just to set a door, the door of your heart. Just set it ajar. And God's grace will do the rest. So, Lord, right now I invoke you. I know the chaplet is a powerful prayer for any intention. I gather everyone who's now in line with me, everyone who's written, everyone who is united with me in spirit, wherever they may be, and I ask today being a day of abundant grace, abundant answered prayers, and abundant miracles. And I thank you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that time of prayer. I'm telling you, it's powerful. I feel so often the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor, too, because I know God is working right now. As those answered prayers come in, as doctors are surprised, or conditions change, or the blessings ensue, just take a minute and jot it down. It's drew@relevantradio.com. That's my show email account, okay? drew@relevantradio.com. And byline, put answered prayer, praise report, whatever you want to call it. And just give me a couple paragraphs, a couple sentences, a couple words. Doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. And just let me know how God heard those particular prayers. And we're going to continue to pray for you, okay? We're going to continue to do that. Stay with me. We got a lot to talk about. Today's the anniversary, believe it or not, of the bombing of Hiroshima. And the Holy Father sent out a tweet recently about even possessing nuclear weapons. I don't know if you heard what he said. I'll fill you in on that when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Today, humanity is just one misunderstanding, one miscalculation away from nuclear annihilation. We need the Treaty of Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons as much as ever. And that is why this review conference is so important. It's an opportunity to hammer out the measures that will help avoid certain disaster and to put humanity on a new path towards a world free of nuclear weapons.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was the Secretary General of the United Nations a few days ago speaking about a global nuclear treaty. I don't know if you heard the Holy Father's comments. I'll fill you in on what he had to say. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about this. Tomorrow is actually the anniversary, the 77th anniversary of the dropping of the atom bomb on Hiroshima in Japan. I think it was the 6th of August, if I remember correctly. Tuesday is going to be the anniversary of when the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. You know, those were the first, and so far, thank God, the only times the nuclear bombs have ever been used in warfare. And I would really ask you, especially this time of year, pray all the more that these rogue nations and some of these other nations that don't necessarily have God or you know, may see this as their only option, that they'll never go to the use of those weapons. Just devastating, the thought of that. But, you know, when the atom bomb was dropped, it changed the course of history. And from then on, we saw a race between the United States of America and the Soviet Union to develop who could make the most powerful so-called, you know, best nuke, if you will. Other countries haven't just, you know, they weren't just going to stay on the sidelines either. So what happens? You saw China, they've got their nuclear weapons. France, Britain joined in, and they become members of the nuclear club. We've got nations like India, Pakistan, and North Korea have all claimed that they have the weapons. And it's an open secret, really, that Israel has them as well. So I don't think more nuclear weapons make us safe. I personally think they make us less safe. From the very start, the church has condemned these weapons of mass destruction. You got to go back to, I think it was Pius the 12th. He said, look, the most terrible weapon that the human mind has ever conceived, that's what he called these nuclear weapons. And in 1955, in his Christmas message to the world, let me quote what he said. He says, quote, the spectacle that would be presented to the horrified eye after the use of nuclear weapons, entire cities, even the largest and richest in history, in art, annihilated. A black blanket of death over the pulverized matter, covering countless victims with limbs burnt, twisted, scattered, while others groan in spasms of agony. All of his successors have been very clear on the immorality of their use. And the reason, of course, is because they don't, there's no discrimination, right? They're, you know, they don't, they're indiscriminate. They don't discriminate between combatants and non-combatants. Just as an example, you know, Catholics in Nagasaki, when that bomb fell, they were obliterated, right? Pope Francis is pushing things even further. 3 years ago, you probably remember this, we talked about it, he stated that the very possession of nuclear weapons was immoral. That's what he said. Even having them is immoral. The other day, he sent out a tweet. We talked about it, but Joe Capizzi is going to be stopping by. I want to tap into his expertise on this, get his perspective. The Pope said this. He said, the use of nuclear weapons, as well as their mere possession, is immoral. Trying to defend and ensure stability and peace through a false sense of security and a balance of terror ends up poisoning relationships between peoples, and it obstructs real dialogue. So where do we go? You know, how do we, you know, does the U.S. get rid of its weapons? Does that make us vulnerable while China and North Korea and other nefarious nations may want to keep them? Iran, let's say. Can Russia and the U.S. and China and all these other nations, can we somehow get rid of them? And what's our moral obligation to move to that? Will we one day have a nuclear-free planet? I hope. Dr. Capizzi is a professor of moral theology at Catholic University of America, co-author of a Catholic Catechism for Business. You can check that out. And he's been a guest on the program in the past. It's always good to talk with him. Doctor, thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward to tapping into your expertise.
Happy to be here, Drew. My pleasure.
So, you know, the Holy Father, very clear on this. 3 years ago, of course, a couple days ago, sending out the tweet, making the claim even possessing these things is immoral. Explain that a little bit, because I go back from nuclear weapons down to having other type of weapons. But what's the basic reason for the church's opposition to nuclear weapons? Obviously, they're horrific, and they are indiscriminate, as I pointed out, but I'd love your take.
Yeah, sure. You really kind of got to the point of why the church views these weapons as sort of qualitatively a different sort of weapon. And that is, number one, that they are by design indiscriminate. They simply cannot and do not, are not intended to discriminate between people who are legitimate targets of lethal force and those who are. So first you have indiscriminate. Second is the sort of scope of devastation, which is not merely a kind of like horizontal phenomenon, you know, that they could take out entire neighborhoods, blocks, cities, etc., but also that the devastation extends generationally, right? It's very common after war, even with sort of typical bombing, that people can move back in and rebuild, right? Like we will see in the Ukraine, like we were seeing in parts of Syria. But when you use nuclear weapons, of course, you cannot re-inhabit places that have been that have suffered their use. So there's a kind of generational effect as well. So for those two reasons, the church is opposed to nuclear weapons.
Yeah, for decades now, the world's been living. I would describe it as almost a subconscious, fear of nuclear
right.
annihilation. You saw that when Russia, did a lot of its saber rattling, warning about, some
right.
sort of retaliation if the U.S. got involved over there. China, the same thing. Those who play with fire will perish by it. Look, we created these weapons, we developed them. Now other countries, including our enemies, have them. Some people say this, we're never going to be nuclear free because who's going to give up a weapon like this? We need to defend ourselves. And the thought of having a nation like Russia or China have them and us not, you talk about a subconscious fear. Now there's an incredible vulnerability. I mean, how do you handle that? How do you balance that? And do you ever see a time, and I pray to God we will see it, where we can move towards de-escalation and ultimately a nuclear free planet?
Yes, I do. And I think you're really getting to the key of the issue that the Pope is trying to bring to our attention, Drew. And that is, as a sign of hope, right? And Catholics live in hope. We cannot give in to hopelessness on this issue. Peoples have gotten together in the past to ban certain kinds of weapons. Even now, right, there are international bans on biological weapons, chemical weapons, etc. There's no reason to think that we can't get to a ban on nuclear weapons. So it's hard, right? It's hard to imagine it, in part because you'd have to have someone, some countries get together, make an agreement to begin a process of de-escalation towards their complete eradication. And quite frankly, we've experienced roughly about 75, 77, 80 years of a sort of false peace, right? But nonetheless, a
right.
peace, right?
Right?
That is a consequence of deterrence, right? And that deterrence is tough to let go of. And nobody wants to. I mean, like,
right.
Nobody wants to be the first country that says we're going to get rid of these. We saw what happened with Ukraine, right? When Ukraine,
right.
Surrendered their nuclear weapons,
right.
all of a sudden they're not able to deter Russians from coming in. So it's a very difficult thing. It's easy
so
to
true.
Despair and to give in to hopelessness, right? And I think the Pope is, this is a key emphasis of his. Don't do that. Don't give in to despair.
It's such a good point, though. 94, Ukraine gives up its weaponry. And I'm sure Zelensky and that whole nation there, which has been just pummeled, probably wishes they never did that. Would the U.S.,
right.
would NATO have reacted differently if nuclear weapons weren't here? Yeah, maybe. Or not worry about Vladimir Putin, turning London into rubble, right? And so you just don't know. And I think Russia's gotten away with a lot more activity simply because of the fact that he has nuclear weapons. A country like the U.S., which with supposedly Christian roots, they face off against nations that are atheistic. They have atheistic communism,
yeah.
like China. As a secular leader, how does the president deal with that to protect the common good of his people when the threat of nuclear weapons is hanging over their head?
Look, obviously carefully, and this is the point, the Pope's point about the falseness of this peace, right, that we live in. It's so false that in situations where a nuclear power determines to do something against a non-nuclear power, it's very hard for a country like the United States, who cares about resisting oppression as is going on in the Ukraine, to do anything, right? Because all Russia has to do is exactly what it's done, and said, look, you come... Anybody come too close to us or approach us in a manner that we view as threatening, don't forget what we have at our disposal, right?
Right.
And so, as you said, subconsciously, it's been there. My parents, perhaps your parents, Drew, right, they grew up learning how to duck under a desk or whatever, right? And for our generation, that was not an issue. It receded in our consciousness, right? But
right.
they were always there. They remained there. And every once in a while, it reappears as a real issue, and we remind ourselves, oh, that's why. Right, that's why we have this sort of fragile, absurd peace, to use Pope John Paul II's term, right? There's a kind of absurdity to this regime we live under, this nuclear regime that we live under.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Joseph Capizzi. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Let me ask you just one other question here, just so I'm sure. Clear on it. The Pope is saying just even possessing the weapon is immoral. Even just possessing it. But why is possessing it? You may never, ever plan to use it. It may just be, you know, a form of psychological protection in some respects. Oh, wow, I don't want to attack this nation because they might use it. But if you're not going to use it and you have it, is it immoral to hold on to a weapon like that? You know?
Yeah, so there's at least two ways to approach this question. One would be to say something like, it's like a sign of the immorality or brokenness of the world that we, you know, that the human beings continue to maintain weapons that by their intention will destroy innocent lives, right? And this is something you were praying for us to sort of be freed from at the beginning of this segment. Right. So that's one way to think about it. The second way, and I think this is probably what he means, it's a stronger way, is to sort of draw on the Catholic conviction that to intend to do something that you know to be wrong is also morally wrong. Right. So if you intend to kill innocent people, which we do by the deterrence principles, right? You know, right. The intentionality of these instruments is precisely we will destroy your cities, your populations if you destroy ours. That's morally wrong, too. Obviously, it's much less grave, right, than the wrong of actually destroying, populations and so on. But it's still sinful, right? It's still morally wrong. And again, therefore, we should be working as peoples to get rid of these weapons.
All right, Doctor, let me take a short pause. When we come back, if you don't mind, I want your take on something that's somewhat controversial. People are divided over whether or not the atom bomb, which ended really the Second World War, sure. If you think about that, was wrong. Was it moral? I mean, millions of lives could have been saved. Lives, of course, were lost. We'll take a look at Hiroshima. Maybe we can also take a look at how that maybe applies today. If you want to get in, I only have a couple minutes. The number is 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Facts and faith over fear. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
For joining me, it is a delight to be here. Talking a little bit about a comment the Holy Father said made me think, as we are approaching some very significant anniversaries. Tomorrow, of course, we remember a day that the world utterly changed. Three American bombers, they flew over the industrial city of Hiroshima in Japan. One of them, you know the name, right? The Enola Gay, dropped the first nuclear weapon used against a population. And that bomb, that destruction, was unlike anything the human race had ever seen. It was immediate. It was immense. They estimate anywhere from 70 to 80,000 people were killed immediately or in their resulting firestorm or another 70,000 were injured. I mean, it was just devastating to see that many people dead and wounded. It had a mile wide radius, completely leveled, but fire damage spread, they said, over about a 4.5 square mile area. And then the horror followed that. You think that's bad. Radiation poisoning became a common sickness for many of those residents, and that's a terrible way to die. Many of them died from it. So what happened 3 days later on August the 9th, another bomb explodes over the city of Nagasaki, and the damage there was limited because of the mountains surrounding the city, but it still was horrific, still showed the enormity, the power of this massive technology and bomb that the U.S. had. And what a lot of people don't know is, that during this time, the U.S. was firebombing a number of cities in Japan, trying to kind of soften it up for maybe a land invasion. So for many U.S. citizens, this was welcome. It came as an end to the war, right? They oh, my gosh, this is great. The war is going to be over. Japan recognizing the power in the hands of the U.S., of course, they surrendered. And, patriotism swelled and people were delighted. They thanked God. But you got to put it in perspective now with a little retrospect. You're talking about wanton destruction, the killing of hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. That barely registered, I think, on the minds of Americans because they wanted this war, multi-year war, to end. But today, as I look back, those two events have become for many people, an argument for the ends, you know, justifying the means, you know. And in fact, there was a commentator in the Wall Street Journal I remember reading. He said, "Oh, thank God for the atomic bomb." That was just wrong. You know, this is a horrific weapon. I'm joined today, and I want to talk about this because, honestly, the war did end. Who knows how many more lives, you know, would have been lost if firebombing and ground warfare continued. I've invited Dr. Joseph Capizzi, a professor of moral theology at Catholic University of America, to give us some perspective. And we'll grab a couple of your calls, too. If you want to get in, love to hear from you. It's 888-914-9149. Doctor, what do you make of that argument? The ends justify the means. A lot of people say, you know, I totally understand that. But in this case, lives were saved and war ended.
Yeah, well, sometimes the ends do justify some means, right? But there are some means that we as Catholics believe we should never employ regardless of the ends. And to some extent, that's one of the hardest teachings we have, right? Certainly it's one of the hardest moral teachings we have. But we know in our own lives there are certain things we would never do no matter what the outcome might be, right? And for, you know, each of us that might be a little bit different, what we really feel convicted about. A lot of the conversation right now in our country over abortion is a kind of related question, right? It's exactly, in sort of a formal sense, the same issue. Can you sometimes kill an innocent? And from the perspective of our faith, we say, no, you cannot. You can never intentionally kill somebody you know to be innocent. And that basic teaching of our faith, which we believe comes from the Ten Commandments, and Pope John Paul II, like, restated emphatically in his Gospel of Life in 1995, is the same principle that tells us we cannot even use a weapon that could bring about the end of a horrific war, right? And the Pacific Theater, right, that war was horrific. There's no question about it. No, this means is not something we can employ, even for such a great good as bringing to a horrific war to an end.
All right. Let's grab a call or two. Kevin's listening in Pasadena, California. Kevin, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Capizzi.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Doctor. Hey. I just wanted to mention, as horrific as that Pacific War was and the island hopping campaign, the loss of American lives, what is not known very well in history is that Japan was also developing their own nuclear weapon, unbeknownst to the Americans, and they were farther behind than the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. But if that war had not come to an end the way it did with Nagasaki and Hiroshima, or otherwise, we would have been faced with the prospect of facing a nuclear weapon from Japan. And that's not to mention Germany was also developing their own weapons program as well.
Kevin, good point. Let me get Dr. Capizzi's take on this. Does that change the calculus, Doctor, the fact that if, let's say, another nation had it before us in order to save American lives, would that then change that calculus?
So it doesn't change the moral calculus, right? And this is where people, like Kevin, reasonably say, well, look, there's something wrong with this kind of moral calculus that does not seem affected by historical events or, you know, or suppositions about what might happen, right? But that's, the moral analysis does not change. Obviously, the historical, you know, what men are thinking about, you know, politicians, et cetera, are thinking about is affected by these kinds of things. The Russians, of course, right, were involved in this kind of, you know, technological race as well. So everybody was feeling this impress of events, and I have no doubt this is why people made this morally abhorrent decision, which has a lot of plausibility to it, given the context.
All right. And Kevin, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Another bit of history there. Leo is listening in Front Royal, Virginia. Leo, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Capizzi.
Yeah. You know, that America and Russia reached an agreement to eliminate the medium-range nuclear missiles, and Russia didn't keep that. And now they have an advantage in the battlefield, and they're using it to threaten Ukraine and the West. And you know, so sometimes you need the deterrence effect of having a weapon so you won't have the use of the weapon. And they did restore part of Nagasaki, and one of the Japanese generals said that hundreds of thousands of Japanese lives and soldiers were saved because the war was ended quickly.
Yep. All right. Hey, thank you, Leo. I only have a minute, so I'm going to give the final 60 seconds to Dr. Capizzi. It's all yours.
Yeah. Look, what Leo said, especially the sort of the first part of that about, you know, going back to the beginning of our subject about nuclear deterrence and about medium range missiles and so on, is absolutely right. I mean, this is the logic of deterrence. So long as you are stuck in this morally absurd situation where you seem to have a certain kind of peace being bought by nuclear weapons, it's hard not to stay in the game, right? And to think we've got to be as advanced or more advanced than our enemies do. And that is what Pope Francis is pushing against. He's trying to push us towards hope. And it's going to be a long, tough push. But I think Pope Francis is right. We can get there.
Amen. I'm with you. Hey, Doctor, thank you. Thanks for the clarity.
Of course. Anytime,
always,
Drew.
Always good to have you. That's Dr. Joseph Capizzi, co-author of the book, A Catechism for Business. You can check that out as well. And find him at CUA. That's Catholic University of America.